I want to talk about the best presents of Christmas. But before we get there, there might be some people who need some help because they haven't bought presents yet. So I want to suggest some possibilities that you could get. For Tony's family, there's the possibility of a very special present, a personalized wooden toolbox. I'm sure that's what he's been waiting for a long time. Maybe there's you have an adventurous child in your family, and a quadcopter would be just the thing. Or maybe you have somebody who's autistic, and you know that they just want to color the walls. Or maybe there's a very special friend you want to give this present to. And it's could be friend or maybe not so good friend. You want to send to the Caribbean to swim among the sharks. Well, a few years ago, I got a present, and it was a combined Christmas and 60th birthday present. And so the family decided they were going to give me a very special present. So they said, "We're sending you somewhere. We're sending you to Siberia." Now, Siberia is the place where you're exiled and where prisoners are sent in Russia. And we're sending you in the middle of winter. It'll be minus 25 degrees. And it's an adventure holiday, and you're going to be cycling on ice. Now, that doesn't sound very good. But actually, when I went, it was the most wonderful experience. It was the best present ever. The lake was beautiful, the mountains were beautiful. When you look down at the ice, there was all these beautiful patterns of ice there. And then there, as you came to the near the shore, there were the sculptures of ice all over. But the very best was that my son was there with me to look after me, to make sure that when Dad fell off his bike, and at one point I went head over heels over the bike, he could keep going, finish the race. So it sounds terrible, but actually it was the very best present. And so the two presents I want to think of Christmas, one, you could say, yes, of course, this is the very best present. The other, you might say, I don't think that's a very good present. But in fact, when you think about it, it is a very good present. So the first present of Christmas I want to think about is God's gift of Jesus to us. That's what we're celebrating at Christmas. Jesus is the very best gift that we could receive. It's better than any other gift you could think of. There's a verse in the Bible, probably the most famous verse in the Bible, John 3:16, which says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, so that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." It's a wonderful verse. It tells us God loves us so much that he gave us the best gift he could give. And this verse has been translated into thousands of languages across the world. I want you to, especially the children, this verse, I'm going to read it in two other languages. And I want you to tell me which languages they are. First of all, Ty så högt älskade Gud världen att han utgav sin enfödde son för att var och en som tror på honom icke skall gå förlorad utan ha evigt liv. What language is that? No, I said the children. Parents, older ones, please listen. Yes, that's right, it's Swedish. Okay, now the next one.
Pakuti valesa, bari temenue va muchalo cha panshi u kwakuti, echa lengele, ati va pere umana wavo urienka, ati abantu bonse, uyo ulukpema momurie, teti a kafwe. Zombi, akalukurinemueo, uamu ya ya ya.
What language is that? Sorry? No, it's not Polish. No, not Spanish. No. Not Japanese. I wish I could speak both of those or all of those. No, it's actually from Africa. Anybody know which country it's from? Zambia, yes, and it's called Lamba. So that's just three languages, English, Swedish, Lamba, but that verse is in thousands of languages in the world. And it tells us God loves the whole world. God loves us very much. And so he gave the very best gift. And when we receive the gift of God that he's given to us, of Jesus, something wonderful happens. First of all, we don't perish. We are rescued from our sins. Now, it's a terrible thing to have a disease which there is no cure for. And it's wonderful that the medical people are working to try and help us with many different diseases. And it's exciting when they come up with a cure. This will help people who are suffering from this disease. But there is one disease that there is no cure for. For thousands of years, people have been trying to find a cure for this disease. Children, anyone know what disease it is? Cancer, yes, a good answer, and they're still trying to find it. Sin, that's right. That's the disease that we're all going to die from. There's no cure for it, except one. There is one cure, and that's through Jesus. That's through what Jesus did on the cross when he died for our sins. So that's a wonderful gift. That when we receive Jesus, we are rescued from our sins. We are given the cure. But not only that, we receive eternal life. And so we can live forever. We can enjoy our lives now, and we know that there's an even better future for us. So that's a wonderful gift. That's why at Christmas, that's God's gift to you and me. But let me tell you about the second gift. And it's God's gift of us to Jesus. That's a wonderful gift. There's a verse in John 6, verse 37, which says this, "All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never drive away." All that the Father gives to me. So God gives gift of you and me to his Son. Now, what does that mean? To try and help you understand it, I want to tell you a parable. It's the parable of the grandfather clock. Now, you won't find it in the Gospels. But I think it relates to the Gospels. There was a man who was a very gifted clockmaker, and he decided one day that he was going to make a very special grandfather clock. So he spent a lot of time getting everything together, and then he began to make this grandfather clock. And when he had finished, he was very pleased with it, because this was going to be his special gift to his son. And so he gave it to his son. But then something very sad happened. The clock was stolen. And so this special gift given to his son was taken away. He'd lost it. And the man decided he was going to search for this clock. And so he went to all the shops, the clock shops, and asked. And eventually, he found the clock in the back room of a shop. And it was just lying there. It was covered with dust, and the glass was broken, and the inside had been destroyed. And it looked terrible. But he said, "No, I want that clock." And so he paid for that clock, and he took it home. And he began to restore it. Slowly, slowly, he began to take away the things that had collected, the grime, the dirt, and slowly it began to look more and more beautiful. And he replaced the clock face, and he replaced all the inside, and he made it into something that was beautiful. And in fact, it was even better than when he first made it. And so he took this gift and he gave it to his son. And his son was so pleased with this gift. Now, the parable of the grandfather clock, if you're very clever, you'll see that that's the story of the Bible. Because in the beginning, God made human beings, and we were made to be a gift to his son, so that his son would be the older brother, and he would enjoy this big family of people. But we decided, no, we don't want to be a gift to the son. We want to go our own way. And so we turned our back on God. We turned away. We got lost. And we became covered with all sorts of rubbish. And we got ruined, we got spoilt. But God decided to search for us. And so the story of the Bible is God searching for us. And it reaches the climax with Jesus coming into our world, God becoming human. And so that's what we remember at Christmas, God coming to look for us. And then at the cross, when he deals with our sins. And then when we receive him, the work of restoration begins. And God begins to do something special in our lives. And that's what's going on in you and me, if we are Christians. It's that restoration process, so that we are beginning to look more and more beautiful. And in the end, we will be given to the Son. So, how does Jesus view us? Now, you might say, just like I could have thought about the trip to the Baikal, that's not a very good gift. And yet I found it was a very special gift. And you might think, I'm not a very special person. I don't think Jesus would be excited about me as a gift to him. How does Jesus view us? Well, I want to just look at a few verses here. First of all, from Isaiah 62. You will be a crown of splendor in the Lord's hand, a royal diadem in the hand of your God. And then verse 5. As a young man marries a maiden, so will your sons marry you. As a bridegroom rejoices over his bride, so will your God rejoice over you. That's how Jesus regards those who belong to him, those who've been given to him by the Father. He rejoices over them. He said, you're special. And then another verse, Zephaniah 3, verse 17. The Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He will take great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. This is what Jesus does when he looks at you and me. He bursts into song. This is a wonderful gift that the Father has given to me. So, Jesus, we need to see Jesus as our older brother. I have four brothers, and they are very special to me. Well, Jesus is our older brother. He loves us very much. He is the best friend we can ever have. He knows us. He became a human. He understands us. He cares for us. He protects us. He is the very best friend. He is the bridegroom. We are joined to him as the bride and the bridegroom. If you're a Christian, you're God's gift to Jesus. So the two gifts tell us of the wonderful relationship we can have with Jesus, where we say, he is mine. God's gift to me, he is mine. But we can also say, I am his. I've been given as a gift to him. And it's a relationship of love, so that I enjoy his love for me, and he enjoys my love to him. And so at this Christmas time, let's receive the gift God has given to us, and let's give ourselves to the one who loved us.